It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now to studying microorganisms in the untreated wastewater of sewer systems. This work has become much more high profile in COVID times. What researchers have called public health wastewater surveillance, tracking how much COVID-19 genetic material is circulating in a given community. And there's really big international cooperation on this. Ready for this? The COVID Poops 19 Global Wastewater Dashboard. Nearly 4,000 monitoring sites, hundreds of universities involved, including UW-Milwaukee. Join in on the sewer microbiome, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Ryan Newton is an assistant professor in the School of Freshwater Sciences at UW-Milwaukee. Ryan, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Good morning. Sandra McClellan here as well, professor in the School of Freshwater Sciences at UW-Milwaukee. Sandra, welcome back.
Good morning. Thanks for having us this morning.
Yes. Well, it feels like studying microbes in sewer samples has made really great strides in the pandemic, or it seems the scientific community has become very cooperative on this. Why study microbes in sewers?
You know, this is something that our group, between Ryan and I, have actually worked on for about 10 years. And we started the research by just asking the question, how can we track sewage pollution in the environment? When the pandemic happened, it really gave us kind of a jump start on understanding how we can also track some of these pathogens that are coming from people and understand kind of the health of the community.
Ryan, walk us through how you do this wastewater surveillance to detect this bacteria and maybe even detect infectious diseases. How does it work?
Sure. So first, you have to have a sample. So typically the wastewater treatment facility has people there that will be taking a sample. The samples we get, they collect over a 24-hour period. So it gives you an integrated look at everything that's coming down sort of the sewer pipes over that period of time. You then extract the nucleic acids. In this case, it's RNA. So these viruses are RNA-based viruses. So you extract that out of all the microbes that are coming down in those water samples. And then you're targeting specific genes that are present only in those viruses, in this case, the SARS-CoV-2 virus, and quantifying how much is there. So you can quantify that using a technique that amplifies and detects that particular region that are on these viruses. And you can ask the question, you know, how much of it is there and how does that change over time as you get samples on a sort of daily or weekly basis?
You start getting a much more complete picture, I imagine, Sandra. And you looked at the microbiomes in the sewer pipes of a dozen of cities around the nation, found human fecal bacteria is around 13% of a city's sewer microbiome. Sandra, what other things reside in city sewers?
You know, there's a whole lot of bacteria that are simply growing in the pipes. And that actually surprised us, because when we did start this work, we were looking kind of for the human bacteria, the ones that people carry. And what we found, like you said, only 13% of the bacteria were from people. The organisms that live in the pipe are the ones that are growing almost like a culture. And when you think about how expansive our cities are, it's almost 10,000 miles of pipe. There's a huge biomass of organisms there. And a big focus of our research is understanding, are they helping, you know, break down waste? Are they good for the city, or are they harming our infrastructure? Are they causing some negative effects like deteriorating pipes?
What did you find, you know, as you looked across cities?
You know, it was really surprising to see all the cities were really uniform. And that tells us that city infrastructure pipes are kind of the same environment everywhere. So pipes in Hawaii and Australia and New York and Milwaukee grow the same kind of bacteria. That's really important because it gives us a big opportunity then to change that environment just a little bit, to select for the good guys and try and keep out the bad guys. And that's work that's kind of underway. We're just at the very beginning of trying to understand how to tweak those conditions to keep the good guys there. And those are the ones that will break down waste before it gets to the treatment plant.
There's also this urgency around antimicrobial resistance. And, you know, the CDC has been looking at this in a report where they said that the threat of antimicrobial resistant infections is not only still present, but it's getting worse. You know, Ryan, what is the role of wastewater surveillance in helping to address that issue?
Yeah, I think this is really, you know, sort of the benefit of, you know, the big effort that went in to wastewater monitoring, you know, during the pandemic here, is this sort of byproduct of there are other avenues by which we can look at human health or things that are related to human health in these systems. One of those, as you just said, was antibiotic resistance. And so I don't know that everyone knows exactly yet, you know, how this is all going to play out and what the true benefits will be. But it, certainly on paper, we can monitor for antibiotic resistance of things that are of concern. So resistances that are in organisms, in pathogens that we're concerned about in hospitals. So those can be monitored in a coordinated network across the country so that you can identify when those sort of organisms are increasing in the community, and maybe we should be more concerned about them. Also, there's a possibility to monitor for things that might be developing, you know, into the future. Can we see new things that are new organisms, new resistances that might be trouble for us in the future?
So really getting some established data, some of this baseline data can help you understand when that, you know, things change. And I wonder, Sandra, what can researchers do with that more comprehensive knowledge of the, you know, antibiotic resistant organisms that are residing in city sewers?
You know, it's really important to match it up with what is going on in the kind of the public health setting. And I think that's really where wastewater surveillance has kind of jumped ahead and formed these partnerships. So our group works really closely with the Wisconsin State Lab of Hygiene, and by establishing a baseline of what's in these kind of sewer systems, we can then start to talk with the clinical side. What are they seeing in hospitals? What are they seeing, you know, in doctors' offices? And start to match up, as, you know, as Ryan pointed out, what new threats might we have in the community, and get, you know, really kind of this head start on, hey, maybe there should be more outreach on, we're using antibiotics too much, or a heads up that doctors should watch for certain antibiotic resistant infections. I think there's been, you know, the real partnership has really allowed us to then be able to act on this data, as opposed to, you know, just publish a paper and say, this is interesting, we see this in the sewer systems. I think it really boils down to coming up with actionable data that public health can use as a tool.
One of those tools, I think, is this national effort, the National Wastewater Surveillance System. What impact and capacity does that have?
You know, it covers almost all of the United States. I want to say there's 47 states participating now. So not only do we get really practical boots on the ground information in Wisconsin, we can compare Wisconsin to what's happening around the country. And there's these really great collaborative networks that, you know, they call them kind of communities of practice, where the people that do what I do in the state talk with the other states, both on the science side and the public health side. And it's this, they call it NEWS, the National Wastewater Surveillance System. That has developed so quickly in the last 2.5 years, but it has brought together everybody, where they're kind of sharing information back and forth. And I think that has really kind of had this huge benefit of, you know, I don't have to figure everything out. What's going on in Utah or New York or California, I can use that knowledge in my own state and in my own lab to kind of advance the science.
Sandra McClellan with us, and Ryan Newton, our faculty in the School of Freshwater Sciences at UW-Milwaukee, studying sewer samples to find what bacteria are present in various cities, places. Join in on wastewater surveillance research, what you want to know about it, your curiosities, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Since the early days of the pandemic, researchers have taken samples of wastewater across the state to look for the virus that causes COVID-19. And this statewide wastewater monitoring program is really data rich on the state health department site, with the SARS-CoV-2 in wastewater trending up over the past month. As I look at the line in the participating sewer shed, as it's called, join in 800-642-1234. We have Sandra McClellan and Ryan Newton. They are faculty in the School of Freshwater Sciences at UW-Milwaukee, and stay with us. Ryan, what role could wastewater have in monitoring community health as you look ahead with the next big virus after COVID-19?
Yeah, I think we're in a much better position than we would have been or we were before, in that the wastewater can be used almost immediately, or this could be ramped up almost immediately, to understand levels that are circulating in the community. So before, widespread testing is done for individuals, you would be able to get this sort of early warning or early indication of how widespread any virus might be spreading through the community, as long as it's shed, into the wastewater system.
Sandra, is COVID still detectable in wastewater as you look at that data?
Unfortunately, it is. And we see persistent levels. So that tells us it's percolating at low levels through the community. One of the things that we've really been able to get a jump on, though, is tracking the different variants. So people have heard about that in the news. The virus is always evolving and changing. And as it changes, then it can kind of get past our immune system. So if you've been immunized or maybe you've had COVID, 6 months or a year down the road, there's a new strain that your immune system hasn't seen. So not only are we watching the SARS-CoV-2 levels to see how it's going up or down in the community, we're also testing for very specific variants. And that has been great for early warning, because you hear about these variants maybe in Europe or on the East Coast, and we can ask the question, are they already here in Wisconsin?
And are you using samples from a lot of different sewer systems in Wisconsin, or how does that work? How do you choose what to sample?
Oh, that's a great question. How do we choose? We started with 72 wastewater treatment plants, and we've kind of scaled it back to 40 in the state. And when I say we, I mean our whole statewide program. The real heavy lifting is done out at the state lab of hygiene, and they cover a good portion of the state. And then our lab also cooperates on doing kind of the Southeast Wisconsin part of the state. And I think the choice of wastewater treatment plants has been really strategic to make sure we cover rural areas as well as kind of the heavily urbanized areas. The goal is to be, efficient, where we're doing, kind of good coverage for sampling, but we don't use too many resources. We kind of keep resources in reserve, so if we have to ramp up or test for something else, we have the capacity to do that.
We're exploring the microbiomes beneath us, more than 70 major cities and sewer systems, what they tell us, especially in COVID times. UW-Milwaukee researchers Sandra McClellan and Ryan Newton with us. You can join in on wastewater surveillance, what you want to know about it, 800-642-1234. I was reading new survey results on the public's perception of wastewater surveillance. It came out this week in The Conversation, and the respondents overwhelmingly said, 92% want surveillance for things like Ebola and tuberculosis, for COVID and environmental toxins. But their enthusiasm was way less in favor of monitoring for lifestyle behaviors, like monitoring wastewater for smoking or birth control or healthy eating. What do you think, Sandra, of wastewater surveillance and tracking external threats like diseases versus tracking these very personal lifestyle aspects?
That's really understandable, that I think that it comes into, how people feel about privacy and their ability to maybe not be judged by their lifestyle. And it is a very large ethical question that we're just starting to tackle. I think 2 years ago, this wasn't on the radar screen of how do we ethically handle these samples. So we're not like stigmatizing communities or identifying people personally. That just, it wasn't even a question on the table. And now all of those questions are being discussed. The good thing is we kind of have a model to follow. We do public health research in communities, and there are good guidelines for ethics to say, how should we handle that data so the people within those communities aren't harmed by it? I anticipate this is going to be an ongoing discussion. And I think the scholars that really study ethics and some of the legal implications are really stepping up and getting involved in tackling those tough questions.
Ryan, what crosses your mind as there are no health privacy protection laws or regulations about sewage surveillance in our country, and in what this area with such a trove of data points is like? How do you think about that?
Yeah, similar to what Sandra said, I think it's something we're dealing with as a community and coming up with the right sort of guidelines. There are you know, definite questions, because you can sample the sewer shed often, like we do, at the end of all the pipes, where you're getting an integrated signal of the whole city. But you can also go way up into the sewer shed and sample, you know, a neighborhood or so on. And so there's certainly ethical questions of like, how far up into the system is too far for some of these measurements. And then, of course, as Sandra said, the privacy issues are certainly an excellent question. And, what level are these data? Should these data be made available to researchers so they understand what's going on in public health, versus giving people their privacy so that the results don't harm them in any way? And I think that'll be an ongoing question, and certainly something in the community that's talked about constantly.
Well, Ryan and Sandra, thank you both for joining us and sharing your research.
Thanks for having us this morning.
Yes, thank you very much. It was a pleasure to be here.
Sandra McClellan and Ryan Newton are in the School of Freshwater Sciences at UW-Milwaukee. We have a link to their research, Guts of the Urban Ecosystem, at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.